Aloha and welcome to Connection to the Cosmos with your host, me, Dr. Lisa Thompson, where I have out-of-this-world conversations with extraordinary people. And today I am so excited to have on my friend, MJ Hurtubise, and I'll bring him on in just a moment, but first, just a couple of announcements. If you have not taken advantage of my free 20-minute meditative journey to meet your galactic family and guides, make sure you grab that on my website at drlisajthompson.com or mysticmanta.com. And if you are coming to Hawaii, to the Big Island specifically, then come on one of my Big Island UFO tours. See the night sky in a whole new way with my advanced Generation 3 military night vision goggles. And for more information on that, go to bigislandufotours.com. Okay, I'm going to bring MJ on. Hello, MJ.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. Okay, let me tell people all about you, because we met in Las Vegas at Disclosure Fest, which was a fantastic UFO conference. So I've been really excited to have you on. So let me tell the audience why. So MJ Hurtubise is a spiritual teacher, transformational guide, healer, and UAP experiencer. For over 25 years, MJ has journeyed deep into the bond between his inner being and the universe, overcoming fears, guilt, and shame. True freedom, he discovered, begins within. His inner wisdom guided him, especially at the age of 46, when he faced and healed past traumas, leading to a profound transformation. A divine epiphany connected him to higher dimensional wisdom. As a daily experiencer of unidentified aerial phenomena, he has embarked on a unique journey, one that has deepened his connection to the mysteries of the cosmos. This lifelong quest has instilled in him a calling to guide others on their paths while also assisting humanity in the disclosure process of these extraordinary encounters. Every challenge and lesson he faced now fuels his mission as a spiritual teacher and UAP experiencer, dedicated to leading souls towards healing, empowerment, and spiritual evolution. His purpose is to help humanity navigate the profound shifts in consciousness that come with the understanding of our interconnectedness with the universe and the higher truths that await our discovery. Well, that's quite a mouthful, but
I know I got to shorten that.
No, it's all good, because I think it gives a really good overview of who you are. And I think the audience now will understand like why I'm so excited to have you on. And like, we just had this instant connection at the conference. And so first though, before we get into like how you got into all of this, you know, all how we met and the UAP stuff, I would love for you to share with me and the audience kind of how you grew up, spiritual, religious, something else. Like, was this part of your normal reality?
No, I'm originally from Montreal, so I'm French Canadian. And by default, back in those days, you would kind of be Roman Catholic. Mm. I was thrown into the Roman Catholic way of things. You know, that there's many churches in Quebec, if you've ever been to Quebec, but a lot of influence there. And although I did go to Sunday school, I didn't finish the three things. I forget what it is. You do the penance and confirmation. Confirmation was the one I didn't do. Anyway, it just never really sort of resonated with me. But I would throw out various things when I was a kid. I was like, we're inside a being, actually. And the whole goal of this is to understand that we're inside of it. And then we get to create our own universe. Like, I'd spit out stuff like that, which absolutely makes sense when seen from, you know, where I'm at now. But back then, it's just like, you're crazy. You know, I was always the alien, and who knew I was the alien, right. You know, pretty funny, right? But then, so what happened is I got turned off of religion at a certain point, you know, and I became atheist. Mm. And then after, you know, going through various things, I became agnostic, because I could see the beauty in the world and thought like, well, for this to just be some random sort of thing, it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. So I was open to things. And, my very first spiritual awakening piece was in 2001. A lot of people seem to have had spiritual awakenings, similar to what happened with the pandemic, right? A kind of a global thing. I mean, you had 9/11 happen. Mm-hmm. I just finished up being in my first narcissistic relationship, and I got totally crushed. Then 9/11 happened. Then I was totally lost, and I went down the rabbit hole, but I went down the wrong rabbit hole, as a lot of people tend to do when they get into like conspiracy or opening their mind. They go to the dark and want to study like we're being controlled by this or whatever. And that took 3 years off my life. But during that time, I was completely sober and in my bed. And as Eckhart Tolle would say, I was surrendered to, the ego was broken. And I was just like, you know, if there's something out there, I need to know that it's going to be okay. And instantly this energy came through my heart and radiated through my whole body. And the only way you could describe it, although it's indescribable, would be, oh, you know, that sort of angelic sort of peace. And I was wrapped in a sphere of just pure love, acceptance, and timelessness. And I just sat in my bed when that finished. And I was just like, what just happened? And then I said, are you sure? And it happened again. And that didn't change my life, but it opened, you know, that little crack in the egg kind of thing. And
Okay. Well, so when, so take us a little further down that path. So, okay. So now you've got the crack open. So then, you know, how were you going about your life? Was it, were you living differently, or was it just a little seed that was planted and then something else happened later?
Yeah, it was a little seed that was planted. Like, my personal development journey started in 96, and that was like the Tony Robbins, you know, you got to get in state, and, you know, you're trying to achieve all this material success and all these things that are pushed on to you within society, or things that you believe are for you. And so that little crack sort of opened me up, and then I started to, things just started to fall in place, sort of like inner guidance that I didn't know was inner guidance. So things at work happening, and I didn't like the communication, and somebody says, go to Toastmasters. And I end up going to Toastmasters, and I get very comfortable speaking. And I realize, oh, this is something I should be doing. Then all of a sudden, now you're getting into when the secret's released. Mm-hmm. Somebody, I go on another IT contract, and somebody says, you know, you should be a motivational speaker or something, blah, blah, blah. And I said, yeah, you know, I've thought about that for a long time, probably since the first time when I was maybe 12 and I saw Tony Robbins' Personal Power, you know, those infomercials, right, that everybody used to see. And on that contract, somebody gave me the movie The Secret. And then that's when I connected to law of attraction and different things. And I really resonated with Bob Proctor. And I went and I studied under Bob Proctor and ran as an independent consultant all seminars for all of his products.
Okay. And,
you know, I was fortunate to spend a lot of time with him. But then as the growth happened, you realize this doesn't work in a sense. There's something missing. And then I took another 12 years off from that, rediscovering myself deeper and deeper and deeper. It's like it never ends, right? In a sense, right?
Okay. So I think some people would be like, what do you mean it doesn't work? So tell, I would like to know, because okay, you haven't told me this before, but I would like to know, like, what wasn't working, or why you think it wasn't working?
Okay. Well, there's different types of people, right? We're obviously wired differently and stuff. And depending, you know, the seven chakras, right? Depending how aligned you are in your chakras and what's happened in your childhood, like traumas or different things, right? Mm-hmm. You could have your solar plexus, which is your identity, your confidence and sort of stuff, super active, but you could be a narcissist, right? Which is still a person that is weak. They present as very strong and da-da-da and the alpha and all sorts of things. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, they're not strong. They have a limited self-image, and they just need to, you know, protect themselves by being, you know, on the attack, on the offensive all the time. So there are people like that that are excellent, you know, what they call manifestors, and they're able to materialize a lot of financial gain. But how many people are extremely successful, you know, whether they're artists, singers, billionaires, whatever the case, and they're absolutely miserable? Mm-hmm. This is why I say it doesn't work.
Okay.
And now for the people that don't have the self-confidence, because they've, you know, they're on the other half of the weakness spectrum, okay, what they'll find is that it won't work at all, because they're not able to get themselves into a state of not attracting, because you don't attract. The law of attraction is a subset of the law of vibration. Mm-hmm. You become what you vibrate.
Right.
And with infinite timelines, you know, Bashar, Daryl Anka speaks about this, but there's infinite Earths happening at the same time, and it's just a waveform. And based on all these micro decisions and traumas or generational things, or, you know, things that are on the positive realm that modify that vibration, you get to a certain state, which you pretty much don't change from unless something tragic happens or something amazing, which is the healing process, allows you to resonate and move up the film to a different Earth.
Right.
Then that life that you seek is already there. You've just tapped into it. And I think science is seeing that now, where all the possibilities in the quantum field are saying, you know, you could walk through a wall. It would just have to be exact timing, but it is a possibility. Mm-hmm. And if all possibilities are available, once you observe them, you observing the reality that you want and transforming the vibration that is in alignment with that allows you to receive it effortlessly.
Beautifully said. Yes. So that's the kind of stuff that I was learning, you know, growing up, from my spiritual teacher, and then quantum mechanics definitely is the science underlying all of that. But it's so interesting because with those timelines, that's something that, you know, especially my Arcturians are continuously sharing through me, and being in that we're in 2024 and there's going to be a lot of shit happening this year. I think it's really important for people to really soak that message in, that whatever state, whatever vibration, whatever frequency you are in, that is your reality. That's what you're experiencing. So what do you want your reality to be?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I just saw that at the recording. It was at 11:11 when you said that. So people pay attention to that. That's an important, the angel number has confirmed that that was an important statement.
Yes. Okay. So now you've taken this 12-year kind of hiatus from you know, trying to manifest and all of that. So then what was the next thing that happened?
Well, the next thing that happened is something that happened for a lot of people. Obviously, there was a 2020 push, right? So things started to, you know, there's a shift, right? It's coming from the higher realms, and how it presents itself, you know, a pandemic, whatever, it needed to be done in a certain way. And that's a great way to get everybody stuck at home in their own environment, thinking about themselves and, you know, seeing their, questioning their whole reality. So it served a great purpose. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, obviously I was fearful. My parents lived close to me, like literally across the hall. So I was fearful of getting them catching COVID and, you know, whatever, all this sort of stuff, the stuff that they were playing on. And, you know, everything was shut down. And although I'm a hermit by trade and I love solitude, if you're familiar with human design, I'm what's called I'm a triple split. So I need to be around people. I need to be around the process information, kind of like, you know, the Price is Right Plinko chip gets stuck. And if you're stuck at home in the same environment with the same people, I'm not able to.
What's your profile? Because I'm a human design practitioner. I do readings and I used to teach.
Yeah, I'm a 2-4. So I'm a hermit, opportunist generator.
Yes. Okay. Well, I'm a 6-2.
Open throat and open lean, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Okay. So you're in this kind of confined little bubble space where your circuitry is.
Yeah. And I'm absolutely trapped because at the time I'm living with my ex and my daughter in a one bedroom because Vancouver is quite pricey, but I have an apartment right next door. So I have three apartments technically. So I have my office, which is, you know, I can get away and do work and stuff. And then there's the, you know, where I live, and then across the hall is my parents. But my ex, her parents are from China. So they come 6 months at a time, and they were using my space, and they were trapped in Canada during the pandemic. So they couldn't leave on time. And I was just like feeling trapped. Like I was depressed to the extreme. I was drinking a lot. I was drinking like maybe 10 beer a night. I was like, I was ready to jump off the building literally. So like, you know, I was down to it. And what happened was I ended up working another project at the place I was at with a guy who's my best friend now. He's from Goa, India. And we literally had a call for 5 minutes to talk about the project and the kickoff. And then it was a 3-hour conversation about spirituality. And then it just got me meditating again. And that heart chakra opening that I discussed in 2001 happened all again. And I was being pushed to clear it all out. And I knew what the trauma was, right? You know, I'll share it. I don't want to trigger your, so if you have sensitivities to different things, you know, you might want to pause or fast forward a couple of minutes. But I was sexually assaulted when I was 5 by someone in my family. And so that caused a bunch of shame and guilt and all sorts of stuff. But at the same time, and this will be in a book, whatever, because I've unpacked my life quite a bit. I was on this drug trial, which was called phenobarbital, which is a benzodiazepine.
Okay. Okay.
And one of the things is, if you ever have an acute trauma, which a sexual assault would be, you would never want to use a benzodiazepine because it interrupts the memory processing and can lead to chronic PTSD. So I had nightmares for years and years, and the memory was repressed and all kinds of stuff. And at the same time, being a highly sensitive person, which many of us are in this field, our nervous system are wired a certain way. 20% of the population is like that. And what happened was, there was chaotic home, like many people have, you know, alcoholism, you know, my mom was alcoholic. There's a lot of fighting. So that led to CPTSD. And then I've cleared all of that. So I've got no issues sharing it with you. But part of that 2020 thing was, I was being forced to clear that. And I would go in a bathtub, and I'd have like the candles and the spa music kind of thing going. And I would just meditate, and I would pick the simplest thing. Cause if you have ADD and HSP, you hang on to things, you know, they're like whatever. One time was, I broke a pencil that my dad gave me because I was mad at him, and it was still in there like for 40 whatever years, right? And you're just like, you gotta let it go, dude. So you start doing the simple stuff, and then ultimately I had to clear the sexual assault. But I got to a point where, you know, the last thing left, the elephant, was the marriage, and I had to heal that and deal with that. And now we're very good friends, and you know, there's no issues there. But yeah, and that's when it leads me to the past summer, what I told you. I don't know if you want, I'll get into the enlightenment piece. You want me to get into that?
Yeah, of course. Yes, go for it.
So I release all of this stuff. 2021, my dad gets terminal cancer. 2022, he dies. Now I have to handle all the finances, big money issues, like energetic blocks, because my parents would fight about money. And, you know, I got the CPTSD still going. So I finally clear all of that. And then I'm free, in a sense, but there's still like this veil, this invisible veil that I can't get past. I'm like, why can't I still feel like free? Mm-hmm. And summer, July of this past summer, my nervous system's just going crazy, cold showers, nothing's fixing it. And I just asked for help again. I'm like, hey, listen, I need help. What's going on? Next night, I have this dream, the white light. You know, when you die, the one they say you go to the light, the brightest, brightest, brightest light. And instinctively, I'm like, oh, I'm dying. That's okay. I guess my journey's over. And I'm just like, but obviously I woke up and I was like, what just happened? Well, that was a symbolism for what was to come a week and a half later, 2 weeks, was that it was an ego death. And, you know, I cleared a lot of it. And then I'm just minding my business again, just sitting there watching the stove and TV at the same time. And then this energetic shockwave comes through the crown, ripples all the way down through me like this. And I feel everything just go shed off. And then I feel everything kind of collapse all at once again. Mm-hmm. And then automatically go, I am that I am. And instantly I knew I was free and fearless and enlightened or whatever. But, you know, to go back to where you said Arcturians are talking about this, 2 weeks later, I get an Archangel Michael message. And then I realize, oh, I studied in Arcturus. I'm Arcturian kind of thing. So, and then all the orbs I had seen before that had scared me like 12, 13 years before, I'm like, I'm ready to see you again. And then they came out that night. And then I was like, oh my God, my family's back. And then that's when it gets, you know, really weird for people, right?
No, well, not my audience.
No. But I mean, like, you know, you're like, what? You're a starseed or whatever. You're nuts. I think you need to go see a psychiatrist. But you're like the most sane person.
Yes.
Because you're observing, like the way I observe the game of the world is just like from a, you know, the detached sort of perspective, compassionate, unconditional love and observation and the allowance of everything that happens. Anything that I can do to help somebody, I will do it. But I don't force any ideas. I'm not trying to build followers or, you know, I mean, followers, it builds the audience, but I want them to follow their own message because your expression is unique. Your perspective of the entirety of things is going to be different. And the only way to find that is to go inward. You don't need a book. You don't need me. You don't need anything. Right. I'm just here to tell you that, yeah, you can be actually free. You can free yourself from depression, alcoholism, whatever, substance abuse, sexual abuse, you know, all this sort of stuff. You can be absolutely free and love those people and let them all go and let all yourself go to forgiveness. And then you're free.
That's beautiful. So, and easier said maybe than done. So what, like, after that happened, I mean, did you have moments where you were kind of reverting back to former MJ, or was it like, no, I'm now in this new timeline, this new experience, there's no past?
Well, I would say that for the most part, you're operating from a 5D perspective. Okay. So you rise above the collective and different things. There are times where you might be in a lower vibration. You know, when you get tired, you get really hungry or something or whatever, you're not sleeping well or whatever. Especially like I get overstimulated. So I have to be careful that I get away and then get my peace and quiet. You know, if there's too much running, too much noise, whatever it is, I just have a threshold. And if I don't catch it, you know, and I'm stuck in traffic for an hour, then it really starts to, you know, it's not a going backwards step. It's more of a physiological sort of thing. So you're not perfect by any means. No, there's no such thing as a perfect human.
Right.
The things still get me angry. Sure. You know, to a certain extent, you know, not external things, but like I said, you're not always like on it. Right. But you learn to do more exercises to focus and center from the Sacred Heart.
Yeah.
And then rather being up here, you know, if you try to push your energy here and then out.
Yes. Beautiful. Well, and I'm glad that you said that, because I think that some people, they might think that once you experience that, that there's no human experience, but no, we're still human. We're still here on Earth to be human. But we are also like you and I and others that are ready to shift into that full 5D reality. You know, there is a little wiggle room there.
Well, yeah. And people say they want to be 5D and they say, you know, F3D or whatever. You know, people get so emotional about this place sucks and all this stuff. Well, if you don't accept Earth, you're not ready for the next realm anyway. Because it's the acceptance. It doesn't mean you don't want to change things or improve yourself or improve conditions. It means that you have to learn to accept it all, to be that's what it is. And then once you have that, then there are no problems. There are only things to be dealt with, as Eckhart Tolle would say.
Yeah. So how did you discover that it was the Arcturians after that experience that you were connected with?
Yeah, that's a good question. It's how things get put in your way, right? And, you know, I'm good at picking up patterns or listening to inner guidance and stuff. So I was on Twitter and somebody liked something that I posted about spirituality or something. And this was before I was back in contact with, you know, my friends. And he said something and he messaged me and then we got chatting. And he's actually seen the Ophanim Angel. He's in communication telepathically with them. He's been in experience for like 70 years or whatever. And he's got a lot of stuff. And I said, wow, this is amazing. I said, ask them if they know me or if they have a message for me. You know, I would just like to know. And then he said, here, they want you to watch this video by Archangel Michael. And I watched it. And what happens with enlightenment is you tap into your own wisdom, but you also tap into cosmic wisdom, like effortlessly. Like that ripple is really a column of light. So you think of the seven chakras, right? The crown here, there's one above it called the eighth soul star chakra. And that's where your higher self resides. Mm-hmm. And once you become enlightened, it ripples in and takes over and then sets up that column of light and grounds you to the earth as well, right? So you're kind of in both worlds. And that's why I say you center your energy here, right? The Sacred Heart, which gives you access to the Sacred Mind. And so he told me to watch this thing, and I had just thought of these things that the Archangel Michael said in the video, like the day before. And I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. This is exactly what I said yesterday. Like, you know what I mean? I don't take ownership of it, but, you know, they never take ownership of anything you think of, right?
Right.
Whether it's good or bad, it's just you're in that frequency and you're allowing it to come through. So the way I work is I go deep into something. Like I learned about human design and then I spent like 8 hours for 2 weeks a day, you know, just, you know, I didn't get certified in it, but I had to know everything that I needed to know until I'm done with it. Right. So I ended up finding Rana Vazan, who's a StarQuestMastery.com. And she's been the sacred scribe of Archangel Michael, you know, for over 30 years, she's written many books and all sorts of stuff. And that's where the video came from. And I started watching all the stuff, reading stuff. And then there was you get a personal message from the Archangel Michael. So I was like, oh, I got to do this. And that's when it came down. It was like, you know, the first line was like, this is not to boost your ego or something like that, dearly beloved. And I was like, what is he going to talk about? And then it got really crazy, right? You know, like you're a commander on the light ships or whatever. And I'm like, oh, cool, whatever. You know, and then I've had other people do it, get it. And, you know, my daughter's a star seed. I knew that was going to be the case. Another guy, you know, he did his. And then this one woman, she reached out to me because I was on another podcast, the Trailer Park Boys podcast. She found me on that one. And the funny thing was that I got her to do it. And she came back. She's from the angelic realm. I was like, oh, my goodness. How cool is that?
Okay. So Michael actually gave you that information of being Arcturian.
Yeah. Okay. And whether I'm officially Arcturian or I'm something else, but it was like the very first line is like, you studied many years in the Arcturian universities. And then you were one of the people that helped me like create galaxies and stuff or whatever, you know, like I'm totally detached from whatever that means. I mean, this is not right. Like I'm attached to who I create galaxies. Yes. I can barely cook rice. I don't know if I've ever definitely not. You know, all this stuff. But the cool thing was that part of it, he said, you know, I came to Earth back in Lemurian and Atlantean times. Mm-hmm. And I was you know, one of the young priests that was assisted with placing crystals into the earth over where ancient Egypt and Roman empires were going to be. So I think you hear the Tigetans speak a lot about that, right? You know, they talk about crystals rising up and things happening or whatever for the shift or the sheen or whatever they want to call it. But I don't know if that's going to happen. But for him to discuss crystals, and I've always loved crystals and stuff. I go, oh, okay, I see where that comes from.
Yeah, very cool. Well, I'm sure that's why we connected, you know, when we did in Vegas, because we were in between talks and we just started talking with my friend Kat and... so we probably do know each other in that other Arcturian realm.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Isn't it supposed to be like Arcturians and stuff are in pods, just kind of streaming part of themselves into this avatar? I have no idea if that's true, but you know, people say they incarnate into the physical body. Some people say they incarnate, but they're actually in a pod. I think, Lara talks about that, right? Because she follows Gosia.
Yeah, I don't, the Tigetan Gosha stuff, there's some of it that I resonate with, and there's other stuff that they say that I'm like, that is not true from my experience.
No, and I've actually kind of, because she brought that back into my sort of consciousness, and then I looked at it for a bit, and I was like, no, I don't believe in that stuff. I don't need to feed a timeline that I don't want to participate in. Correct. And that's what your audience should be focused on.
Exactly.
They try to divide you in the most, no matter if you think the LGBTQ 2S plus or whatever, I don't know, they always adding things to it and they're just dividing themselves more and more. That's part of the game. The more and more you put people against themselves or make themselves think they're better than the other, then it's easier to control smaller packs of people. If we unite and we get access to our internal power, we're unstoppable. And that's what they try to prevent.
Yes. And okay, I just want to speak to that for a moment because of some of my friends and my audience. So I just want to make sure that you are not disparaging the LGBT.
No, I'm not. I'm absolutely supportive. Oh my goodness. I do not. No. Okay, love the LGBTQ. Okay. I'm just saying that it just keeps on getting sliced more and more.
Okay. Like,
let's say the US, for example, you've got red and blue. I mean, that's pretty much divided, as much divided, right? And they're pushing the polls even further apart to create more tension, even within the parties. Like, I mean, it's getting crazy, right? So I'm all about unity. I love and accept everybody. I had a meeting with somebody who's in one of those religions that wants to convert you.
Yes.
Okay. And I was guided to have a conversation with him because he's one of my neighbors, cool guy, whatever. And then we had a adult discussion about spirituality and religion. And I described my experience. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to defend. Like once you get to a certain level of awareness, you will never need to defend anything.
Right.
And he just kept on pulling out his iPad and saying, yeah, but you say that. but check this Bible verse. And I was like, I don't need to know the Bible verse. Mm-hmm. Nobody needs any books. You are what, it's why it's called I am that I am. When you realize who you are, you don't need anyway. You may have come through as a Christian mystic, as a Sufi, whatever. It doesn't really matter which way you came, or as an agnostic or whatever, or as a, you know, spaghetti monster worshiper. But ultimately, when you realize the truth of who you are, although it'll be slightly different for you, then you don't need anyone to try to convince you otherwise. And there will be nothing for you to convince other people. You will just try, as Jesus said, I am the way, which is not follow exactly what I do. Just show how, understand how I am, because what you, what I'm doing, you can do in greater.
Yeah.
It's nothing spectacular. Like, it's the most natural thing.
Yeah. Okay. So I just want to touch on for the audience, because.
Yes. Thank you for clarifying. I never want to, you know.
Yeah.
Thank you
so much. No, I know. Cause I knew that you didn't mean that. And so I just wanted to make sure the audience knew that you did not mean anything about that with that example.
Yes.
So, because again, as we are shifting into that fifth dimensional reality, really the divisiveness, the polarity that we are experiencing right now in this very tumultuous earth, that goes away. Like, there's no more judgment of people. There's no more division. There's no more like us versus them in whatever kind of realm, whether it's countries fighting against each other, football teams fighting against each other, you know, there's just no more of that polarity. And so, you know, again, from what I have been guided, you know, or to allow flow through me, these different races now is really like, get over number one, your judgment of yourself, get over your own divisiveness within yourself, and then see things from that higher perspective and know that everything is all okay. There is no right or wrong, good or bad. It just is.
Everything until you show up and make it something.
Yeah.
Right. That's perception, right? As soon as you make a decision to judge it. Right. And, you know, when you reach enlightenment, it doesn't mean that game is still not going on. I mean, you're part of Earth, your mind is in this realm, and, you know, you're picking up everything else. You're just like, you know, an antenna. And so things are always coming in and out. It's just whether or not you associate with them, or you cast them away, or you just go, thanks for sharing. I'm not picking up that idea.
Yeah.
Right. And it's absolutely true that, you know, there is no judgment. But your head is still going. Your mind is on its own sort of wavelength, right? I haven't found Eckhart Tolle might have figured out the way to turn it off, but I mean, with ADD, it's kind of hard to turn it off. So so you don't become attached to anything that you think of.
Yeah.
And that's freedom.
It is. And back to the human design paradigm, those with defined ajnas, they tend to have more fixed ideas. And not that that's wrong, but they might have a little more of a hurdle maybe to overcome in accepting new ideas, just because they are a defined system. So
yeah.
I'm curious, is your ajna open, or is it undefined, or is it defined?
Ajnas, which one again?
Third eye.
Yes. No, it's closed. The only ones open is my throat. So I say a lot of things that people want to say, you know,
I haven't had time
and that people give you that look like, oh my God, he just said what I was thinking. I can't believe he said it out loud. Yeah. And you know, with the ADD thing, it just flies out. Right. And I'm just like, oh, get myself in so much trouble.
Yeah.
And then which is the one on the right side, the one with the fears, that's the spleen, right?
That's the spleen. Yeah.
Yeah. So those two are open.
Okay.
So with you know, mom with general anxiety disorder and, you know, general fear that all parents have and all sorts of stuff. So I really amplified other people's fears and took them on as my own, right?
Yes.
So I you know, that's part of the healing process though. I mean, there's the mental, right? Like you think of it as five planes, right? There's the spiritual plane, which is really untouchable in a sense, right? Like it doesn't change, right? You can't really hurt your spiritual self.
No.
Energetic self, you know, this is from higher to lower vibration. So then there's an energetic body. There's an emotional body. Then there's a mental body and a physical body, right? Mm-hmm. And when we're doing any kind of treatments, you know, we fix the body, but, you know, we don't fix the subconscious trauma and the emotional and then the energetic. And part of my healing journey, the very last pieces that I needed to do was, which got me, actually helped me quit, stop being an alcoholic, was mushrooms, psychedelics.
Mm.
And at the same time, I could feel it defining new pathways in my mind, and it releasing and healing and all these sorts of things. And there are times when people have bad trips on psychedelics and stuff, and I'm not recommending psychedelics for anyone. This was just my personal experience, but
yeah,
I remember one time just being transported back to the table, my dad coming in, being transported back to the table, knowing I was 12 and just energies, right? You know, you couldn't see the people, but I knew I was at the table with my parents and I could just feel their unconditional love, right? You know what I mean? Like, although we've had our challenges, they have their things, and which is generational from them. I just bawled for like 30 minutes straight. And although I'd like let go of my parents, you know, emotionally and mentally and all, you know, for things that happened in my childhood, energetically, it was still stuck. So I was not free. And I think, you know, the treatment options are going to change. And we're seeing that with, you know, different things, MDMA, LSD, whatever the case may be. And then they're starting to holistically treat the person and realizing that there is a deeper component.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. So I want to now know, and I think the audience wants to know. So you, in your bio, and even I, we've had these conversations and shared pictures and stuff with each other. So being a like daily UAP experiencer, so I'm a UFO girl. So I must always say UFO. So you've embraced UAP terminology, which is fine.
Well, it's because it's anomalous for me. My like mine is really, I get some weird stuff that not many people are getting. So
Share like what this appears for you, like what's going on.
Okay, so I figured out the first time I ever saw one was when I was 8.
Okay.
And it was a total Jetson satellite shape, like you know, with the like hexagonal, you know, little feeties kind of thing. And I was, you know, watching it with my mom. I go, look, check it out, a satellite. And there's, I mean, this is like 1982 or something, right? Or whatever. There's no way there's a satellite, like you could see the feet on. Like, I mean, you know, it's like, so they presented themselves and I didn't know, right? But ultimately what happens, I started one time at fireworks. I saw a white light. I was waiting for the fireworks to start and I was staring at it like a star. And then it just poof, you know, you've probably seen these. They shoot right off and they're gone. Yeah. That was the first time that I really, really... Couple of weeks later, we're down by an airport, so it was behind us. We're looking, you know, opposite to it, and super dark down there. It was nice to see, and a light on the horizon. I was like describing it with my friends. I was like, yeah, it was kind of looked like this light, that's this plane coming at us, and da da da. And we're all like, you know, how people talk side to side, looking at this object. And then after about 15 minutes, this thing moves up an inch, like on the horizon, which is a lot, right?
Yeah.
Up an inch, goes an inch below where it was, and then it goes, whoa, like comes at us.
Oh, okay.
And we all go, whoa, jump, and then it backs up, and then it fades away.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, my God. And then 2 weeks later, something like that, daytime, I was like, I wonder if that we'll ever see that again. And then I see one in the clouds, and it shoots off. And I was like, okay, I'm not calling them anymore. It's too scary. What am I calling? This is like 2007, 2010, something like that. Like in that general. And that was when I was really high vibing as well, because that's when I was doing the coaching, you know.
Yeah.
A lot of attraction type stuff, a lot of meditation stuff. And so then the night I called them back, this is the cool part. I asked them to come back, right? So then in the summer, I know I'm an Arcturian or whatever. And I like, I'm getting them back. Guys, I'm ready. You know, this is where, you know, telepathy works, right? I'm just like, I'm ready for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I go on my regular walk and I get to this one bridge or close to a bridge, and it has these round lights, like where the sidewalk is lit up, and they're very nice. And I've only ever seen them white. And as I'm looking at the bridge, the lights go two times up and down, alternating rainbow colors.
Oh, wow.
I was like, oh my God, that's so beautiful, right? I get on my camera, right? And anyway, it only did it that time. So as I get home, I walk home, and then on the way home, there's a park I can sit at, and I look up and there's like literally like one star, right? Light pollution kind of thing. And then as I'm walking home, I can't get away from the star. And then I notice that it's like getting closer kind of. And then I get home and I look on my balcony, and then I start seeing it like doing S patterns and stuff. And I'm like, they're back. And I was like, so excited. Right. So I was like, that's so cool. The next night I go for a walk, and I'm like, I'm not going to bother you guys. You guys are probably doing something, whatever. You know, I don't need you to entertain me. right? I get close to that bridge again, and then the lights do the same thing that I had only seen the night before. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a calling card. They're telling me they're here again. Mm. And then that's when it got really weird, because they started playing with all the bridge lights. They played with lights in Vegas. They played with lights in the parking lots. I'll take people out. Like, I took a friend of mine, and I said, well, let's see what they're going to do for you, right? I've never really brought somebody that's, you know, that they know I'm close with. And there's these strung lights, because it's like it's a retractable roof on a stadium. And there's these white lights that go down. And I said, yeah, you see those lights? I said, if they want you to see them, these lights will start blinking as we walk. And then all of a sudden, bing, bing, she's like, look. I'm like, oh, cool. And one of the ways they present themselves is as a drone, like with red, green lights, no sound. And it will wait for me in various locations. And I'll see that one about once a month. And it was waiting for me on the Vegas Strip. So I got film of it on the Vegas Strip. And it flew right across, and it was doing some stuff at Caesars. And so when we got down off the bridge, he goes, look up. And then they gave her the drone. So they really started to give her the real good show. Then I went to this other building, and they play with the lights on the building. And she goes, can they do blue? I said, I don't know. And then we wait like 10 seconds, and then the building turns blue, and they start doing the patterns. All kinds of cool stuff. So that's why it's anomalous. This is not a craft.
Right. Okay. So for those that are like, okay, well, if you're saying it looks like a drone, how do you know it's not a drone? Can you give a little more info on that?
How do I know it's not a drone? Well, because one of the things is it's waiting for me, right? Like it's specifically waiting for me to get there. Mm-hmm. And like the first couple of times they sort of buzzed me to let me know what was going on. So you know, and for those of you that haven't experienced it, it's a very, very complex subject. This is why nobody's ever been able to pinpoint it. Like, who gets them playing with the city hall lights and all the city lights of things that happened for me, right? Or turning into drones or, you know, helicopters or, you know, all these sorts of things that are happening. It's so difficult, but sometimes you're wrong. You think it's, you know, it's them and it's a star or something, whatever. But the very first time I walked across the bridge, it flew over my head. It was like red, green, and then it just blinked out, like disappeared. So that's one of the ways that you can know that. Other times I'll be looking where I was filming and it'd be at the very, very far end, like far away, but I could see it red and it would just like, you know, flowing around. Another time I get out of a restaurant and it flies over my head. It stops, waits for me. I'm like, wait. I didn't get my camera ready. It stops. And then they wait. And then I get my camera ready. So, okay, go. And they go, and you know, so they're like under my command in a sense, right?
Yeah.
And so they should be. Didn't I tell you I'm a commander on the light ship?
You are the commander. So perhaps it is you talking to you in that alternate reality.
Yeah, maybe. Or I'm telling them, hey, listen, can we do this? But it's not like I could call my shot all the time, right? You know, I can't say certain things. But when I say they present themselves as aircraft as well, this is the one that is really difficult to explain without absolutely sounding nutty. But if you watch some of the stuff like Beyond Skinwalker Ranch with Travis Taylor and all them, and you know, they see an orb and then some magic helicopter appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff I've got it filmed where I'm filming the lights. I said, I've asked them to switch the lights for me on the bridge, and I'm filming it and I'm like, let's see if they're going to do it. And then the lights go and they switch while I'm filming, and I've got a helicopter above me. And I go, I didn't want to show you this until I saw them. I could confirm with you with the lights, but this helicopter's been following me and this is them. And I go, you're not going to believe that. And then I'll turn around and like, I said, look here. And then I film as I walk further down the bridge. I go, it's waiting for me at the bottom of the bridge right now. Take a look at this. And I film it. And then I go, check this out. And then the lights start changing as I'm walking towards them. They start switching all the lights and then they take off with the helicopter.
Okay.
It's so weird. Like, how do I, and then when I was watching Skinwalker Ranch and that happened, the helicopter appeared out of nowhere and it didn't have a transponder and all that. I said, they made themselves originate close to the base. And, you know, Travis, they're like, the government's in on this and all that sort of stuff. And I go, yeah, maybe the government's in on it, but I'm telling you that helicopter's not them. And they're never going to say that's not us, because they would be confirming, like, we have no idea, but they're actually airplanes and helicopters too. You know what I mean? Like, that is so beyond the realm of, but yeah, it's normal now in a sense. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, okay. Well, so here's an interesting thing that I just thought of based on what you are saying is that, so some of these different races, they have cloaking technology. They've got, like, they can change the way they physically appear. So do you think perhaps they can physically change the way their craft might be appearing?
Absolutely. I mean, they're, you know, if you listen to some of the stuff, I mean, obviously some people think clouds are UFOs.
Well, I do some of them.
Well, I'll tell you. Yeah. So if they could be a cloud, I mean, could they be a plane? Can they make sound? The reason I started to pay attention when I had a, like, the way a plane is, if you've never seen a plane, like, actually, like, thought about it, it looks like a diamond, a triangle, you know, depending on the light patterns of that specific plane. And I'd never thought about this, but when they first started to show themselves as craft, I forgot to mention, the night after I saw them the first time, I went for a walk the next morning and a helicopter followed me. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Is there a marathon today? You know, summer, right? I'm thinking it's a marathon today. I'm going in. And it started circling me. And I was like, am I on the government radar already? Like, what? I call them out one night and the next day, like next morning, they're like, get your Tim Hortons coffee, right? If you're Canadian, right? Let's go. We got to follow this guy. So then I thought that was weird. So I get to the top of this park and then the helicopter just stops in front of me. And I'm like, oh, so this is you guys, that I took a picture of it. And then I was like, okay, you guys can be crafts too. Like helicopters, this is weird.
Yeah.
So the cloud thing, I never gave much thing, but I'm finding some that are, you know, sort of a certain shape. And I had never seen a saucer. I sent you a picture of my saucer, right? I'd never seen a saucer in my life. And it's funny, the lights, when they play with the lights, is more exciting to me than seeing the saucer. Where, like, somebody would see a saucer and they'd lose their absolute mind, right?
Yeah.
Maybe, like really, which is not good, which they won't show themselves. If you know, if you haven't seen them, sometimes they're not meant for you at this point in time because they don't want to mess with your psyche. So I had seen that, a cloud like that, where the moon was full and I was out early in the morning. They had switched the lights to Christmas on this bridge. And the way the cloud was positioned, blocking the moon, and it was like, it looked like a huge craft. And I was like, okay, I got to take a picture of that. And it kind of turns out that was the precursor for a couple of days later when I was driving on the bridge in the daytime and I could see this little, like, white sort of like disc kind of thing, like at a, like a little bit of a tilted angle. Mm-hmm. And I was on the top of the bridge. I could see it perfect. And I knew I was going down. I was like, oh, I got to pull over. And I was able to get a picture of it. So a week later, someone on Twitter that I follow and follows me, she posted one in Texas and it was like perfectly horizontal. So rather than seeing the glowing bottom and the dark top, you could see the glow in between, a dark line and then a glow under the bottom as well. Okay. And I was like, that is the exact same craft I saw, you know?
Okay. Yeah. I don't know if I told you this. So March 8th of last year. So we're, you know, I'm on the Big Island of Hawaii and our clouds, we've got big trade winds. We've got clouds blowing by all the time. Well, starting at 5:30 in the morning, March 8th last year, these spaceship clouds just started showing up on the island and there were several of them. You could see them from all sides of the island and people were taking pictures. They stayed from 5:30 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. stationary. They did not move. There were other clouds that were moving, but these guys did not move. Well, the night before was the one that I had in my neighborhood across the street above my neighbor's house that I got photographs and I got the really amazing video and was talking to it where I'm like, okay, do this for me. You know, show me something that a craft can do that a star can't do. And then it dimmed out and then it came back on and it did that five times because I was asking it to show me the proof.
That's awesome.
So that night was March 7th. The next morning, then these spaceship clouds are all over the island. People, because we don't get those types of clouds here, unless they are spacecraft, because we don't have the right conditions for them. Where, you know, I'm from the Northwest, like you, where you live now. So Mount Baker, all the way down to Mount Shasta, they get the spaceship clouds. Lenticular clouds is the scientific term, but there are often, you know, craft in them.
Well, it's so cloudy that it must be the biggest mothership ever. Like, it'll stay from October till around March, the cloud.
I know. That's why I live here in Hawaii now, not in the Northwest.
Yeah. I turned the camera around, but it's nothing spectacular. It's just rain.
Yeah. So, okay, in our final little bit of time here, what else would you like to share with the audience? Are they, like, do you have ways that you work with people with this, or is this more for just your internal, you know, processing and...
On which? On the healing or the UFO yeah, type stuff? Or the healing?
All the healing, whatever, because you have titled yourself spiritual teacher, you know, healer, yes. All of that. So, yeah. So tell yes. me...
So it's been quite a whirlwind. I mean, it's only been 5 months, right? So the website's going to be getting up in the next couple of weeks. And I'll be taking on some clients to test a couple things. Like, I have an idea of exactly what I want to do. It's just a matter of, I'm trying to give you the most bang for your buck with the least amount of effort, right? Because you know, I could throw a million things. I've studied a million things, but are they going to be apropos? We got to take them, like how to eat an elephant, right? One bite at a time, right? So yeah. you've got to get to the internal journey, but there's ways to get there safely and slowly. You don't want to tackle the big ones, like, you know, like I've had to do, but I was diluting them over the course of 26 years. So it wasn't like I decided to jump right in or
right.
jump into psychedelics, right? The psychedelics piece was the very last piece. So how have I thrown those in? Like, you know, 10 years ago, I could have caused myself more damage, and you know what I mean? So like I said, I do not recommend this sort of stuff. But one of the things, you should just start to become aware of your body. Like, just take a moment to see where your attention is, where you have tension, the ability to breathe more effectively, right? Box breathing is very good. So 4 second in through the nose, 4 second hold, 4 second exhale through the nose, and then another 4 second hold. Once you get comfortable with that, you're only doing 4 breaths a minute, which allows your vagus nerve to calm down and put you in a more relaxed state.
Mm.
And another one, I don't know, do you do this, Lisa? Cold therapy, any kind of cold showers?
Oh, only if I'm like sweating. Like if it's a really hot day, then I will take a cold shower. But no, I don't like cold.
Yeah, so... cold is a good way to really learn to regulate and build resiliency and capacity for stress. So one of the things that I started last year was just slowly dialing it down, like very minimal, like almost imperceivable, like colder, and you can get a lot colder and it might take you 2-3 months. You don't have to fill the bathtub with ice. Cold water is good enough. And what it teaches you is how to breathe properly as well and to relax. And if you have ADD or ADHD or something like that, where you have executive, you know, you have the inability to get started sometimes, it builds the strength to be able to take action, more assertive action to things that you don't like to do, let's say like corporate taxes or, you know, whatever you're fearful of, right? So that's what I would do. Just start with basic things. There's nothing has to be complicated. Observing your thoughts. You're not your thoughts. It's like a tennis ball, right? If you were your thoughts, you'd be the tennis ball in the match. You know, that's very low level of awareness, right? You get life is bouncing you, right? It's reactionary. Second phase of that is you become the spectator. You're observing the thoughts without judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Third stage of that is you begin to guide your thoughts, right? You're starting to play the game. And then if you get Eckhart Tolle level, you put down the racket and you stop playing and you turn, the ball stops moving, right? That would be the absolute stillness, but I'm not there yet. Yeah. I can't teach you that.
Okay. Well, how do people find you?
You can find me on X, Instagram, and YouTube. And the handle is TAOOFMJ. So Tao of MJ. And when the website's up in the next short while, it'll be taoofmj.com.
Beautiful.
Well, and MJ, if you want to know what Tao of MJ stands for, Tao or Tao, right? Taoism, yeah. Right? Taoism means the way. And MJ stands for magical journey. It's not me. It's the way of the magical journey.
Okay. I thought it was you, but magical journey. I like
that. MJ are my initials, but it's in my ex. Check this out. My ex-wife's name is Tao.
Okay.
So I was meant to go the Taoist sort of you know, way of things, right?
So interesting. Well, it has been a true pleasure to have you on. And at some point, I'm sure I will want to have you on again, especially, you know, when you're even further progressed into all of these new magical journey experiences.
Yeah, I know. It's always an adventure. I love it.
Yeah. And hopefully everyone enjoyed listening or watching. And thank you all for being here. And I'll see you next time on Connection to the Cosmos. Aloha.
Thank you so much. Namaste.